This is the North Peace Roundtable Podcast, your weekly podcast about theology and the Christian life. Well, here's another episode of Off the Record.
Can you believe it? We're doing another one.
Can you believe it? We've come so far. So if you are wondering, like, oh, that's weird, an episode of the podcast coming out on a Tuesday. We had talked about last week, Corlin and I, maybe recording an extra kind of bonus episode, maybe once a week, that we would just call Off the Record, because basically nothing really planned. Like, Corlin's got a few things written down. I've got a few ideas for topics written down, and it's more just kind of like off the cuff, just conversation about life or ministry or whatever.
Less of a presentation and more of a conversation.
Oh, that is good.
I know.
So the reason it came up is, like, we were talking about some of the podcasts we listen to, and one of my favorite ones is just two guys from the Midwest in the States who are best friends, and each week, it's not like a theology type podcast, but they just talk about, like, what'd you do this week, Brad? And then it's like, well, Jake, I did this with my, and then it just leads into all sorts of, like, really interesting conversations. So
yeah,
that was the idea behind this. Maybe people, and maybe no one's listening to this.
Ooh. No, don't talk like that. Positive vibes.
Yeah, positive vibes. So how was your, oh man. Okay, that's a good thing. Can I just say that I hate that?
Like, being a part of the good vibe tribe?
No.
You're not all about
that? No. When people are like, oh, I'm sending, like, positive vibes your way, I'm like, I hate that.
You're more the thoughts and prayers kind of guy.
Yeah. Because I'm like, first of all, how can you send some? I'm just like channeling some vibes, man. But even the thoughts and prayers, what cracks me up is, like, when people who I clearly know do not have any kind of faith or belief, yeah, and it's just like, man, our thoughts and prayers go out to them. I'm like, you're not thinking or praying. Anyways, well, that was off.
See what we mean? Off the cuff.
So how was your week, Corland?
It's been good. It's been really good. Are we talking week from, like, yesterday being Monday, today Tuesday?
No,
or are you
since
talking, like,
we recorded last, which I guess was
Wednesday,
so almost a week.
Yeah, it's been good. We recorded the sermon on Thursday and that went well. Learned lots from that experience. So
yeah,
with the apprenticeship position, it's really interesting, because I'm always, like, there are certain things that I've been able to watch, and I'm a visual learner, right? So there's certain things in ministry that I've been able to watch and anticipate quite well, because
yep,
I've seen it happen. So it's like, okay, like, that will be a facet of this. But then there are other things where, until you're in a ministry role, you just don't see coming. So then it's been like, oh, how do you navigate that? But it's been good. It's been good. Preaching was good. I
remember, was it on the last week's or... was it on the podcast where you were like, I think maybe preaching is not really my gift?
I don't know if that was on the podcast.
Or that was just us talking.
I think that was just us talking. But
so
yeah,
after doing it, are you still kind of like, yeah, that was a good experience, but I'm not sure if I'm really gifted in that?
I still feel tension. Like, because I don't think we did talk about that on the podcast.
Okay.
So
yeah,
I had come to Andrew and I've preached a few times now in the church, and I've kind of been starting to question if preaching per se, like in a Sunday setting, is one of my gifts, that it like in the sense that it just comes really easy for me.
Right.
Because it doesn't come really easy for me to do it. I have lots of stage experience in the sense of, like, I've done performances for Stage North and through school and stuff, and that doesn't bother me. So it's not the being on
stage
thing.
Let's talk about some of the plays you were in.
Pirates of Penzance, Jungle Book.
Who did you play in Jungle Book?
King Louis.
I can see that. Yeah.
Just monkeying around.
Okay, anyways.
But yeah, so the stage presence part of it doesn't bother me.
Yeah.
Even though you might second guess that, because I read my sermons right now because I'm not comfortable with preaching. So I don't know if that makes sense. But anyways.
Yeah.
It's been an interesting process of trying to, like, learn how to properly write a sermon. And there are times where I can be like, well, maybe if I just went to seminary first, then that would just come easily. But I don't know if that would be the thing, because we know how spiritual gifting works in the sense that, like, not everybody is gifted with the same things.
Yes.
I think after this time, I feel more confident in my ability.
Sure.
To preach.
Yep.
But I think I haven't come to a solid decision on like, yeah, no, that's not one of my giftings, but I'll do it anyways. Mm-hmm. Or yes, that is one of my giftings. I can't wait till the next time. I think it is still like, yeah, like I need to keep practicing this to figure out where I would land, or if it isn't a gifting, maybe like I think someone, even if it's not your gift, you can still be good at it if you practice.
Sure. Yep.
Right. Maybe not as good as someone who it comes naturally to in his practice, but you know what I'm saying?
So yep.
Yeah, I definitely do feel different about it after having preached, but not like,
yeah.
I still haven't landed on that decision.
Yeah.
But what about you?
How was my week? Yeah. That's a good question. I know everyone is kind of disappointed about the restrictions and all that kind of jazz. Yes. I think that was Thursday, wasn't it? Maybe?
Yes, I think it came out Thursday, late Thursday.
So that was just kind of like, what? Kind of a big bummer.
Yeah.
But yeah, we have our life group on Fridays, which you're a part of. Mm-hmm. And that's always just so good. It was especially good just to pray together. And I was encouraged by that. We didn't do a whole lot of stuff this weekend. I found out that my downstairs, my basement fireplace works.
Oh. So, is it an electric fireplace or like you have to build a fire?
Yeah, like a wood fireplace. And how I found it out that it worked is by trying it.
Yeah, I was going to say fire works in most places, Andrew. Just
because like our, and you might, yeah, whatever. Our home inspector was like, oh, you're, because we have like two fireplaces that have like the one connected chimney, but like two, whatever. And he was like, I wouldn't use the top one because there's a crack in it and blah, blah, blah. But he never said, they look clean. The bottom one looks fine. But we were kind of like, ugh. So we just like built a fire in it. And then I went outside and I'm like, okay, smoke's coming out of the chimney. That's
not
good.
Out of the house.
And then we just like smelled throughout the house. Okay, doesn't smell like smoke. I think it works. That's cool. So that was fun. And I might get into it in a little bit because it's one of my things written down. But we're in a fun, and I'm using fun very sarcastically, fun parenting season. So that was interesting. And then, so I didn't really do a whole lot this weekend because you were preaching, which was nice. And had the week to prepare for Advent, which I think I wrote down. What do you have on your list to talk about?
The first thing that I've written down as like a conversation starter is simply Jesus is greater than. So I have little side notes beside that, but that's kind of like the intro to this topic that I was thinking about this week. Mostly today, actually, it came kind of to the forefront. The reason I was thinking about it is I was just often with COVID and with struggles in life, whether it's health issues outside of COVID or COVID itself or finances or relationships, we can often quote, and the Christianese saying is like, well, Jesus is greater than these things or God is greater than these things. And it caused me to think, pause and reflect, like, I wonder if we actually understand what we're saying when we say that, or if we've taken that into a health and wealth gospel type of thing, where even though where we as Christians wouldn't necessarily say, well, yeah, no, I mean that like that God has my best interest, and by my best interest, I mean like what I think is best for me in mind. But I was thinking about it. I was like, how often do I personally do that? Where I'm like a crazy scenario, and then it's kind of like that VeggieTales song, like God is bigger than the boogeyman. It's like, well, God is greater than this. And then I like mentally picture all the ways God could provide for me in the ways that I want to be provided for.
Yep.
Instead of actually just resting in the fact that, not maybe, but I'm going to use maybe for my own context and my own processing. Yep. Like maybe God is just greater than that thing because he's literally greater than it, right? Like what if resting in him as our fortress means that because of his character, because of who he is, that's why we can have peace and hope for the future, instead of saying we can have peace and hope in the future because God will then provide the money to pay those bills, instead of letting us suffer, right? Especially when I look at examples of Job.
Yeah.
Or the example of Job. Because he, God very clearly said that he is greater to Job after Job had been suffering lots and didn't deserve it. And yet God pointed to his own majesty as reason enough for Job to be content. And that's not something that I think I am quick to do. I think I often think of God's provision as his greatness instead of just who he is as being great.
Yeah. Well, it's like we even, as you were talking, we sing that song, Jesus is better. And the bridge is like, I'm not going to sing it. I'm going to read it. in all my sorrows, Jesus is better. Make my heart believe. In every victory, Jesus is better. Make my heart believe. Than any comfort, Jesus is better. Make my heart believe. More than all riches, Jesus is better. Make my heart Make my heart delete. And our souls declaring Jesus is better. Make my heart believe. Our song eternal, Jesus is better. Make my heart believe. Hmm. And yeah, it kind of goes through the whole gamut, like sorrow, victory, comfort, riches. But you bring up a good point. Like, what does that actually look like to live like that rather than just like, yep, Jesus is better. Jesus is greater.
Yeah, like how do we make it not just a Christianese saying, but how do we, in essence, actually believe that? How do we put that faith into action?
Yeah, so then like, yeah, when we go through seasons of like prosperity and there's money in the bank and, you know, things are going great and your mortgage has been paid and you're not in debt and blah, 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 to say like, well, this is all great, but Jesus is actually greater than this. And then on the flip side, when it's like there's no food in the cupboard and there's no gas in the car and you just got fired from your job and you're maybe going to have to declare bankruptcy to say like, okay, even in this, Jesus is greater.
Yeah.
What does that look like? Is that just something that you say? And I like that song says like, make my heart believe, because it's kind of acknowledging that. Like, I don't think left to ourselves, anyone would actually say that. Like, Jesus, you're way greater than all this.
Yeah.
We could say it, but to actually like, okay, God, you have to make my heart believe that. It's like a work that the Spirit does. And it's maybe just like a contentment. Like, yeah, when life is good and I have money in the bank, to actually say like, but my hope is not in that. Like, Jesus is way better than this stuff.
Yeah.
And then the flip side, like when my world's falling apart and cancer and sickness and blah, 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 blah. Okay, I actually believe that Jesus is greater than this stuff. I don't need that stuff. I don't know, like...
Yeah, I think that it's... I think the thing that's interesting then, though, is that we can, like, almost make hope sound like a holy hoping for the best. Mm-hmm. Like it's like our fingers are crossed that, yes, this is the outcome that Jesus is going to bring to me. When I would argue that it's not... Right? Like it's a confident expectation of what Jesus has promised, and that is that he'll return and make all things new, right?
Yeah.
I if you know me, you'll know that I love to use the catchphrase or the like line that like we're both physical and spiritual beings. So I think it's important, and one of the things I like to challenge myself with, and it's hard to do because we're human and we're so easily swept whichever way with our emotions. But one of the things I like to do is to try and give myself physical reminders of who God is. Similar to how the Israelites laid out their altars after they crossed the river and God was like, hey, place an altar here to remember what I've done for you.
Mm-hmm.
So like similar things, physical representations that I can see, right? Because I think one of the reasons it's really easy, and I it's not like I've done extensive studies, but I know for myself, one of the reasons it's easy for me to turn to physical things is because they're physical. I can see them. I can, like, I can, in my world, in my perception of the world, I can understand how great something new is. I can understand how great it is to have money in the bank. So I can turn to those things. Yep. I know how it makes me feel. Yep. I've had it happen. But then when we talk about God, who we can't see, I think sometimes we err on this side of like oh, I don't know. Like, huh. I don't know what that's like. So I want to be careful and make sure that I explain that in those altars, so to speak, it's not like I am saying, God, you are here. Like, you are this altar.
Yeah.
Because that's not biblically accurate and not correct. But it's a thing to remind us of who God is and what he's done. So I'll give an example. The tattoo that I have on my arm, if any of you guys have seen it.
Tattoos.
Yeah. Anyways, that's a controversial topic.
We already covered that in a podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah. So go.
I got that as a personal reminder, something physical that I can see that as long as I don't lose that arm will be with me for the rest of my life.
Yes.
To specifically remind myself of how God has set me free from sexual sin and how he has forgiven me for that and the new life that has come out of that, right? And so and it's not like it's a silver bullet by any means to be like if I ever feel anxious about my past or if I ever am feeling guilty about those things, it's not like I look at that tattoo and I'm like, bling, like amazing relief. But it is something to be like, right, like I got this for a reason. Mm-hmm. God has done these things for me. It's not, I don't have to wonder where he's been in my life. I can actually, I don't know. There's something about that physical reminder of spiritual things that have happened that I think is really powerful as Christians to use.
Yeah. No, that's cool. Yeah. That's a good topic.
Yeah. What do you have?
Oh boy. You're way more prepared than I am. So, and I kind of mentioned it and I don't want to harp too much on it, but maybe some listeners are parents as well. And,
I'm a soon to be parent.
And I'd you love are to hear. A soon to be parent. But yeah, our kids are 8. Lucy's 8, Ruby is 6, and Oliver is 2.5. And you go through different like seasons of, and I know that some of you might be listening who have teenagers and you're like, just wait. I get that, right? But like when we had toddlers, like when Lucy and Ruby were both really little, it was that season was, each season I think has like joys and then hardships because like there's aspects of that that's just so cute. Like, you know, Ollie, his new thing, my son, he says, he'll come up to me like, guess what? And I'm like, what? I love you. And that's like, oh, that's so adorable. That's really cute that he does that. Yeah. And then he's also like a terrible little terrorist who like does terrible
he's
things.
He's a little toddler.
Right? So, but like we're in this season of with Lucy and Ruby, like 8 and 6. And I don't know if there's like new hormones being released into their bodies, but it's just like, man, oh man, who are these kids that are just behaving terribly? And then yet in the midst of that, there's like these really sweet moments. So this weekend was that, like, we're trying to get them to do more like chores around the house and take responsibility. And you're in charge of the playroom and your room. Those are your two rooms. And if they're messy, we're not cleaning them up. It's your room. And and you would think that I had asked her to like cut off her own arm. And then we talked about like an attitude about things and like, you know, our attitude matters when we're doing things. And we talk about the fruit of the spirit and all that kind of jazz. So the book fair at their school is today. Mm. And like throughout the weekend, it was just kind of like, okay, you know, there's consequences if you throw massive fits and like da 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 da. And so the consequence was this weekend, if we don't see like a change, you're not going to be able to get something from the book fair. So last night is what, Monday? Yeah.
Yeah.
It was kind of like so am I going to get money for the book fair? And it was, so I'm a suck because my girls have me like wrapped around their finger. And so I had to like really stand my ground. And you, my wife can tell you like, well done, you did it. But oh, it was so hard because I was like, no, you don't get to buy something from the book fair because we had to have.
Yeah.
Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday night, tonight. Like it was just like a gong show. So then it's this massive meltdown. And so I don't know. It was just hard to be like, I know this is good for you.
Yeah.
Even as like, you know, they've both Lucy and Ruby have made professions of faith that we want to follow Jesus. Mm-hmm. And yet like the stuff that you're being disobedient and rude and blah, 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 blah. So to like stand firm to like, this is the consequence. I can't just be like, you know what? Don't worry about it. You can buy a book. But man, it was hard. It like, and she's just like a puddle crying and I'm holding her. I'm like, I know. And trying to be like, this doesn't mean we don't love you.
Yeah.
Like we obviously love you. But right. And so it was an interesting moment last night of like, just here's a consequence of the choices that you made.
Yeah.
And yet I still love you. And it just breaks my heart that like you're weeping over buying a book. And really in my mind, I'm like, we buy you books all the time, but yeah. It's like this big deal,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So anyways, that was like the big part of our weekend, just very frustrated and then having to deal with this consequence of stuff and then having to stand firm. And even this morning walking to school, man, it's fun. I'm laughing now, but it was just kind of like, you can't see my face, but it was just like this mopey, like, I don't get to buy a book.
Yeah.
And like just walking to school. And I'm just like, I get it, but I know this is good for you. You got to go through this.
Yeah. That's one of the, like, discipline is one of the things that I, as a to-be parent, am interested to navigate. Yeah. Like, I try not to let myself be afraid because, like, even in our culture, like, the ideas and thoughts around discipline are changing so fast right now. But I think even biblically, there's a response to do that well.
Yep.
Like, and that doesn't, I know some people will quote, like, I'm not going to quote it word for word, but the, like, he who spares the rod
spoils,
like,
the child.
Yeah. And like, I would argue that not every child, so to speak, this is like a hypothetical type thing. Not every child responds well to the rod with quotation marks, right? Not every child responds well to that, but yet discipline still needs to be disciplined. Like they're not, an example like what you gave, it's not a spanking because they were bad. It's just there's a consequence for that, right? And I would argue that's discipline.
Yeah, totally.
But I'm interested as a to-be parent how that will look.
Yeah.
Because like, I just have no concept yet of what it'll be like to have my child in my arms crying because of what they feel is an injustice. But that in a little bit of a higher view, but when I say higher, I mean like a Google Earth view of the situation. You can see, well, no, this will be good. Like this is the right direction to go.
Yep.
Something that Aaron and I were actually just talking about, a concept like this type of concept, the other day. And we were talking about how we feel that our parents actually disciplined us well.
Yeah. Yep.
And the reason that we would say that is these things seem big and bad and horrendously unjust.
Yeah, it's so
and
true.
Yet I don't remember my parents disciplining me. And the times that I do are the times that I personally felt like I didn't understand why the discipline was happening.
Sure.
If I understood why, I don't remember them. I know that I was disciplined for things.
Yeah.
So like I have an understanding of why it happened, but I don't, like, I'm not traumatized by that discipline.
No.
Right? So I don't know. I want to encourage you. Make like if you're doing it well, your kids aren't going to, they'll remember the results because of the fruit that it brings, not because of the scars that it leaves, right?
Yeah, and it was just a good reminder. Like, I think the Bible talks about, you know, fathers, don't exasperate your children and don't discipline them like out of anger and overly harsh. And I had to remind myself several times because honestly, it was just like talking to a brick wall and I'm like, oh my gosh, this child is driving me crazy. But to just be like, no, I know I have to be patient and yet still, I agree. Discipline is so necessary, right? Not just to like, oh, I want you to be a good citizen one day, but like as followers of Jesus, like God disciplines us because he loves us. So yeah, it was just an interesting weekend and it felt like dealing with that like every day. And it was just kind of like, and that's exhausting. Like both Molly and I last night, it's like, here's some NyQuil, go to bed. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. We don't drug our children. But it was like last night we were both like, man, I'm exhausted.
Yeah.
Cause it's just like this battle with this little child but it's good.
It's interesting. It's interesting to think that like, practicing discipline for your children will inevitably force you to practice discipline of yourself.
Yeah, it's totally true.
Right? Like you can't, in a healthy context, you can't have one without the other because you're going to, like, we are very human as parents. And I think kids just see parents as kind of, without actually meaning it, they kind of see parents as like an all-knowing, all-powerful figure.
Yep.
So discipline seems unjust. But then as a parent, you're like, I don't know if I did that right sometimes.
Yep.
Right? At least from what I've heard, I don't know.
Yeah.
I think we're going to raise our kid perfectly.
We'll be the first ones to do it right.
Yeah.
So this is the parenting portion of the podcast. So what do you got on your list?
The next thing that I have is using our gifts in the church.
Oh.
So I was thinking about it, and you and I were talking the other day about how like certain aspects of our ministries are things that we're not necessarily good at, but because of our ministry, we do them. And I think that that's good. But I was toying with the idea, just processing what it could look like. Cause we also often as a church ask like, how do we get people involved?
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking, and I was like, man, sometimes I think we just call people to ministries that they're not called to, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So it's like, no, you should be involved. Well, what do you like to do? And when people say, I don't know, it's like, well, serve coffee. Well, come shovel. Well, and like, there are some people where I think sometimes, again, it's that element of like self-discipline and say, okay, I can do that for the church to yep. edify and build up the church. Cause same with our ministry roles. We step into yep. things that we're not necessarily good at.
Yeah.
But I was thinking about, just the idea of like, so for me, organizing events, I love events. I love going to events. I love the details of events. But for me to plan those things, it does not come naturally.
Yeah.
Right. But I was thinking, and I was like, what if I knew of, so for example, I'm planning a youth Christmas party right now. What if I reached out to one of the youth who through interactions, I've been like, man, I think they have a passion for like, if you can nail it down, like interior design, or like, what if they just love arts craft type thing and they would love to decorate? What if I ask them, hey, can you decorate this? Like, tell me a list of things you need. I will get them for you. And to just like, allow people that space to actually use their gifts in the church. Because I was also thinking, I was like, I feel like some people, including myself in the past, probably would have looked at someone in a position, like in a leadership position in the church, if they had done that and been like, that was your job.
Yeah. Yes.
But it's interesting because I, especially now that I'm in a ministry role, it's like, well, yes, I think that there is an aspect where it is my job to do yes. those things.
Yep.
But in the same time, how do you healthily say that's also not my problem? Like that, not my problem. Like
that's not my problem.
Like yeah. Like yeah. How do we actually get people involved? And it's not. And that's not to excuse. Like I'm obviously going to plan the Christmas party, but like, how do we actually invite people in a way that's meaningful to them? Because like I said, if they don't feel like if. Even just if you think of the concept of like your love languages, how would you show love? How would you edify someone? Say acts of service isn't someone's love language. Well, to get them to shovel the church grounds or mow the lawn means nothing to them.
Yeah.
They wouldn't get excited about being able to do that for someone.
Yep.
It's not that they shouldn't, but they wouldn't, right?
Yeah.
And so how do we encourage people and edify them and build them up in what they're good at?
Mm-hmm.
And then at the same time, challenge people to do things that they're not comfortable with.
Yeah. Hey, welcome to the age old. This is the problem in North American church. I don't think maybe worldwide. I think in other places people are more engaged. But and we were talking even today about like the consumerism versus. So we'll just bring that up. So we've been talking about COVID. That's on my list, anyways. But, you know, we can't meet everybody together, right? Can't have a Sunday morning service of 200 people here at the church where we do what we normally
Which
do.
Which sucks.
Oh, totally. Yeah, I hate it. But thinking through, like, okay, think through the New Testament. You know, the as far as I can tell, and again, we don't have accurate numbers, but there wouldn't have been. Oh, yeah, I go to the church on the corner there that has 500 people in it. It was most likely and almost exclusively in people's homes. Like, and sure, there could have been 100 people in a home church.
Yep.
But it wasn't, I go to this Sunday service at this building, and then the worship team leads, and then I hear a sermon, then I go home. Because all the like instructions for the church, it seems like people were way more involved, right, in doing things. And so we were even talking with COVID, like, you know, we've now switched. And again, we talked about how there's good and bad, like praise God for live streaming. But also, it's like now all I have to do is just turn my TV on, click on YouTube, and I can just sit in my house and watch people sing and watch Andrew preach. And the question that I had with someone the other day was like, what if we just said like, and we're not, but just this was hypothetical. If we're just like, we're not going to do the live stream anymore. And the question was like, what do you think people would do? And the answer I think was they would just turn on a different live stream, right?
Yeah.
Rather than, okay, you're a part of the body of Christ. Every follower of Jesus has spiritual gifts. So could someone in their home be like, you know what? I think I could lead I could read a passage and give a few teaching points on it.
Yeah.
Someone could say, I can lead some songs. And someone's like, I have a word of encouragement that I think the Lord put on my heart this week.
Yeah.
I can lead communion and, you know, like, but we wouldn't do that because I think we've gotten used to this, like, there's professional ministry people.
Yeah.
And I'm not even sure. You might be listening. You might not even know what your spiritual gift is. Like, yeah. But I know, biblically speaking, if you're a follower of Jesus, he's gifted you in some way. And I love that. I think it's Paul. I know it's Paul, but it's either 1 Corinthians or Romans or one of them, but basically saying like, we need, 1 Corinthians, like we need every part of the body.
Yeah.
Right. And he gives the example of like, you know, your body would, if we were all a single member, where would the body be? There's many parts, yet one body. The eye can't say to the hand, I have no need of you. Like, so we can't say to, hey, you, Corland, we actually don't need you in the body. It's like, nope. We need you.
Yeah.
We need your gift. Yeah. Right. So it's an interesting thing that I've been thinking through in this COVID season because, you know, I think about scenarios like what if, and again, I'm praying this, not this, but what if we can never meet again?
Yeah.
And what if live streams don't work anymore or whatever? And I just think like, have we equipped people to do this? And I don't think we have because I think people are like, I don't know how to, right? I don't know how to preach.
Yeah.
I don't know how to sing and it's kind of like, well, you do. Like, but we just need to train you how to do that. Yeah. So it's such an interesting thing to think about because we've gotten used to like the North Peace MB Church runs programs for me.
Yeah.
And yes, and I
they're not bad.
No, and I don't want to say like so we have probably like 100 people that are involved using their gifts and teaching Sunday school and leading and that's awesome. But for lots of people it's kind of like it's like this consumer, what is the church offering for me? And it's kind of like, that can be frustrating.
Yeah. I feel like it's an interesting conversation to have too, because I could see it coming off as a, like, you need to do more.
Yeah.
Like you need to do this to be a part of this church. And I, like you said, we want to build people up to the point where they can do it.
Yeah.
Like like you've said a few times, our job is to build people up so they don't need us.
Yeah.
Right. Yep. So that they would go on and continue to flow out, be the living water that we talked about this Sunday.
Yeah. Like if I, and I'm jumping in, sorry.
Yeah, that's okay.
But if I have people in the church that are completely dependent on me for their spiritual feeding, then I've failed.
Yeah.
Right. And it's like, if you are dependent on, I have to listen to a sermon by Andrew to be spiritually fed, I'm like, you should, there's nothing wrong with hearing a sermon, like to say that like, I can't be spiritually fed unless I listen to it, then I'm like, ooh, we haven't trained you to like feed yourself. Right.
And yeah.
Paul talks about that too, about, you should be eating steak by now, but you're like having a bottle.
I was just going to bring that up. It's that there's nothing wrong. Like when I first started attending church again, after my whole, you know, prodigal son type deal, it was very important for me to have sound, scriptural and doctrinally accurate teaching week after week. I needed that. I needed that milk, so to speak, because that's what I needed to grow and to learn. But it hit a point where it was like, not what can I get, but it was like, I need to do something with this now, right? And I think that's like, if you're a Christian who feels stuck in a rut of like, church is just the same, like I already know these things, I would say to you to challenge yourself then and look at where you can grow to be more like Christ and in your knowledge of the Bible, like pursue that yourself. Don't have someone come and feed it to you. You know, you don't like, it might sound rude, but you don't need to have a pastor like, here comes the airplane, and then serve the gospel to you because you know that already, right? But what does, like, start questioning. What does that look like in my life applied? Am I applying that well? Right? Because there's seasons where those things are appropriate and good. And I think I would even argue that in the church in North America, at least, that those things need to be gone over every Sunday because there will be new believers or people that are different points. But like you said, our job is to build people up to the point where they would go out and be able to do these things. So biblical literacy is a huge part of that too, then, is understanding your Bible, why it was written, how it was written, what it's about.
And I think, like, culturally, it's because for years, and I've felt this pressure a little bit for years, and we've already mentioned it, like, it was like, we're going to hire a pastor who's going to do that, all this stuff for us. And that's your job, right? And you brought that up, that it's like the pastor is the counselor and he preaches and he he's the chaplain and he visits everybody in the hospital and he visits every member of the church and on and on and on and on. And it's like, you have to be all things to all people. And that was, I'm just going to, maybe like 20 years ago, I don't know for sure, but that was highly, you know, maybe a generation or two before us, that was the expectation.
But like, again, I think churches were physically just smaller back then. Like, they had a congregation of 50 instead of 200. But it's interesting,
like, you think about the gifting then. Like, then what we're saying when we do that is, like, then you as a pastor, you have all the spiritual gifts. That's what we're saying, essentially. When it's like...
Or you're expected to.
And it's kind of like, well, no, I don't. And I even, like, I have felt that a little bit... even in my role here, because there's stuff that I just, it's not that I don't do it, but I don't do it often because I'm like, man, there are other people in our body that are so much more gifted than I am in this. Why would, but sometimes the expectation is like, but yeah, they're not the pastor though. So it doesn't really count, right? So it's an interesting thing to try and teach people, like, right, the role of pastor is, and it's the same as elder, is that we're shepherding people, and it's primarily, biblically speaking, it's a spiritual shepherding. Not to say that you don't meet people's physical needs. That's not what I'm saying. But I find it interesting, even in Acts, they actually found people who were gifted to care for people's physical needs because they said, that's not our job. Our job is, and I'm not saying I'm an apostle, but I'm saying that's the example. The apostle said, our job, we should be praying and teaching. And so let's find able-bodied people. I think that's Acts 6. Let's find able-bodied people who can do this, who are gifted in this, right? So even, like, I don't do a ton of counseling because I'm not a counselor. I do, and again, if someone said, can we come meet with you? I wouldn't be like, nope, sorry. But I don't advertise, like, I'm the counselor. I'm like, we've got Gwen and Dawn. They are way better counselors than I am.
They're very gifted in those areas.
Exactly. And so let's send people to them because they're going to do a way better job than I can do, right?
And I think too, then, with that, is to not be afraid of trying new things. Right? Like, if you are someone who doesn't know what your spiritual gifts are, I mean, to what you might call it, sound sarcastic or be sarcastic. Maybe you haven't tried enough things to know. Like, I joke when I say that, but I, at the same time, I would say it is valuable to go and try. If you don't know what it is, try it. Right. Like, and I think something that's interesting, at least in my experience, I have very rarely personally come to, like, this, and I'm going to use the phraseology because I think it's what we expect. I don't think I've ever come to, like, a personal conclusion within myself of, like, that's my spiritual gift. I think it's always been other people that have seen things and been like, I think you're gifted in this area. I think you have this spiritual gift. And then it comes where it's like, oh,
yeah,
that makes sense.
Yeah.
But it's never like, I've never been on this, like, self-discovery journey of, like, what are my spiritual gifts? So I'm going to try preaching. I'm going to try serving communion. I'm going to like, it wasn't like that, but it's through serving in the church. And some of those things did look like, well, I guess I'll just do this because I need to get involved. I want to get involved.
Yeah.
And then those things came. And I think it's interesting too, that, at least in my experience, those things came after I was willing to serve.
Hmm.
They didn't come when I wanted to be edified and like propped up. It was like, no, I want to serve, which is interesting because it mirrors what Christ did for the church, where he came to serve, mm-hmm. right? And then he was glorified. So when we serve in the church, God is the one who through Jesus will be glorified mm-hmm. for what we do, right?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I found that really interesting.
Yeah, and I think COVID is maybe exposing some of, or I don't know, like I'm trying to figure out, it's been almost 2 years, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to figure out, okay, God, like you're clearly allowing this to happen for a reason. Maybe we haven't learned our lesson yet. I don't know. And this is me spitballing.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's like once the church learns the lesson, then it'll all be over. I don't know if that's the case either. But trying to be like, okay, God, what are you trying to teach us in the midst of this? And then these kind of thoughts are swirling in my head. Like, not that the way we've done things is bad or sinful, but maybe we have like bought into like this consumeristic, I come to the church to be fed. Maybe there's different ways to do this that in the long run will be like, wow, this is bearing much more fruit. So anyways, that's kind of stuff that I'm trying to wrestle with as we, you know, keep going through all the ups and downs. I would love to just get back to normal, but then I'm like, well, maybe we're not supposed to. Yeah. Maybe we're supposed to like do something different.
Normal is a great place to become compliant or not compliant. Yeah, compliant in your own life in the sense of like
complacent.
Complacent. That's the word. Yeah. Thank you. Yes. Yeah. Complacent is the word I was looking for.
Yeah. Because we even saw that. Like, here's the, in April, we could meet again and we met outside. And again, I'm speaking in broad terms because there were people who were very engaged. And
yeah.
But then when we were inside again, no restrictions, people just fell right back into the, I'll come to church when I can get to it. And those were some of the same people who were like, church is essential. It's my right to go.
Yeah.
And then we're like, you can go. And it was like, well, it's summertime and I just want to go camping for the next 8 weeks. And you know what? I'll come back for the gatherings in September. And so not everybody, obviously.
Yeah.
But we saw like, it was just an interesting, you were complaining 6 months ago
that
church is essential to your life.
Yeah.
And now when it's here, it's just kind of like, oh, I'll get around to it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it is very interesting.
So I've just been kind of thinking, are there ways that we can do things better? Right. Or maybe there's ways that God's kind of like, no, you need to be equipping people this way. Or I don't know. I don't have any answers yet.
Yeah. But I think they're good things to mull over.
Yeah.
What else do you have on your list?
That's kind of it.
That's what kind of it. Got? One of the other things that I have listed here is young understanding. And I think it could kind of go in young with the other
understanding.
Yeah. With that point is doubt as a Christian. They might be two really separate things, but I think they kind of could be connected. So when I say young understanding, what I mean is either like a childlike faith, and what does that look like? Like, how do we know that's a thing? But then I also mean like adults who first come to Christ and are still living in sin, because as you and I both know, those things, like, we're still living in a broken world, right? So even though we're a new creation, those things will still be very real struggles for us, right? So I guess what my question is and what I've been thinking about is just how, with kids ministry, with youth ministry, how do we effectively share the gospel and not be concerned about metrics, but at the same time, how do we know we're being effective?
You've asked like every question that churches struggle with. That's a great question. How do you know you're doing effective ministry? Like, you can't base it on numbers. You just can't. And I know some people would argue with me that no, you can, right? Because, you know, people will say like healthy things grow, and I'm like, well, yeah, so do unhealthy things. Like, cancer grows and it's not healthy. Like, so I don't think you can solely base it on like, hey, look, there's 1,000 people here, so it must be good.
Yeah.
Some base it on like baptisms, number of baptisms. But I, in my years of youth ministry, we baptize a lot of kids who now I follow on social media and they don't follow Jesus anymore. So
yeah,
I don't think you can strictly base it on numbers. But yeah, how do you measure success in ministry? And then, yeah, like, how do you disciple? I think it just depends. There is no cookie cutter answer, right? It depends on where people are at. It depends on your age. Like, how I disciple my children is different than how I disciple adults.
Yep.
Right? Because for them, it's just a very simple, I love Jesus. He died for me.
They need milk right now, so to speak.
Well, yeah. And like, so yeah, do my kids know what penal substitutionary atonement is? No. Is it important? Yeah, but they don't know what it is.
And they wouldn't be able to wrap their head around it.
And that's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even when you were saying like, then yeah, if you have new Christians who don't even know maybe what sin, like that's what, I'm not allowed to do that. Like, it reminds me of a story of, there's a church planter in Quebec that we were connected to. And amazingly, like people were coming to Jesus, and Quebec is very un-Christian, like don't know the Bible, don't know anything. And so they had like a new believers class, and literally the pastor had to be like, okay, you guys are followers of Jesus now, you can't have sex with each other. And they were like, what?
Yeah.
They
didn't know.
They had no idea. Yeah. The Bible says that? And he kind of walked through like, sex is for a married couple, husband and wife. And they just kind of went, they ended up going, okay.
Yeah.
But they, at first they were like, what? Yeah. We can't do that anymore. Cause for them, it was like, they have no idea.
Yep.
Right. And so, even like close to home, we had I can't remember, maybe a year ago, 2 years ago, there was a young lady who became a follower of Jesus and connected to our church. And she was living with her, boyfriend, I believe, not fiance, just boyfriend. And she was connected to some ladies and she finally became a Christian. And it was amazing because it was not long after that she met with one of the ladies in our church and was just kind of like, I don't think I can sleep with my boyfriend anymore. And she didn't even, like the person discipling her didn't even say like, that's a sin, you need to stop.
Yeah.
But it was interesting. It was like night and day. She became a believer and then it was like instantly the Holy Spirit convicted her of that. She's like, I don't think I can do that anymore, right? Hmm. And she was like, yeah, you can't. Like,
yeah.
And not that God's a buzzkill, but here's why, and it's a good thing. But it was amazing. Like, there's someone who had no idea.
Yeah.
Oh, I have no idea. What? Why?
Yeah.
So I think it's, how do you disciple people in different... Again, I don't think there's a one-size-fits-all, right?
Yeah. I think something I've been really encouraged with is... So Aaron and I often, because Aaron is involved in youth ministry alongside me, and she listens to my sermons, believe it or not. and something that I have found is a really cool way that I would argue does measure the success of your ministry is we will simply, after we have done an event or preach the gospel in some manner, we'll go back and after when it's quiet and we're together and alone, we'll critique each other and say, like, did we share the gospel clearly? What did I do well there? What did I do poorly? What can I work on? And it's interesting because I think that we talk about it so much. I don't know if we've talked about it on the podcast tons, but I think we have, where like we live in a society that loves metrics. So like you said, how many baptisms, how many kids have come to the Lord through your program? How many this, how many that? I don't know, but I know that I've been sharing the gospel well, right? And I know that from sources outside of just my own feelings, so to speak, about that. Because I've asked people like, was I clear? Did you get it? Ask questions about what you taught, and when they can answer those things with truth, and that not just the truth from within, but that we can line up with scripture. It's like, okay, I've communicated it to the best of my ability. And I think that's the measure of effective ministry.
Yeah.
Because after you have said those things that you feel called to by God and directed by God to say, you have to leave it there, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's not up to you to be the one to save that person then. They have to decide what to do with the person of Jesus, right? So it's interesting because I think that pushes against our metrics, right? Because it then reverts again to ourselves instead of what have other people done in response to me, and more so like, how can I present this so that I'm honoring God, right? So it's interesting to think about those things. And then doubt as a Christian plays into that too, right? Because of course you're... when you're in ministry, or if you share it at work, or if you're a stay-at-home mom and you're sharing with your kids, like a person can wonder, like, am I doing this right? Like, I think even as Christians, it's fair to say that all of us will probably even struggle with the, like, how is this even real sometimes, right? Because we're human. You're not alone in those thoughts if that's you. But I think it's to be like, to encourage each other to just continue to share the gospel with those around us, but then also ourselves to constantly remind ourselves, right? To saturate ourselves in the gospel so that when people are near us, that's what they experience. Right?
Well, that's good. That's good. Well, I think that's good for now, maybe. Hopefully this is interesting to you. I've enjoyed it.
Same.
Really good stuff to just kind of hash through. But now I'm hungry and I'm going to go have some lunch.
Sounds good.
Did you bring lunch or do you go home for lunch?
I have no idea what I'm doing for lunch. Man shall not live by bread alone.
Oh my gosh. Anyways, thanks for tuning in to Off the Record. And we'll record our regular episode this week as well. But let us know if you enjoy these because we enjoy doing them. And we'll talk to you later this week.